call the meeting to order. And first is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Okay, we entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunewald. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Next is the approval of the minutes of the November 4th, 2025 meeting. Are there any questions, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Next is reading of correspondence. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one letter, and it's from the Laurel Lions Club Foundation, Inc., thanking council for the contribution toward the recreational center project. And that's all.
Thank you very much. Next is public comment. This is a part of the meeting where you'll have 3 minutes to make a comment on something the county has clear jurisdiction over. And when you come up to the podium, we'll ask you to give your name and address. And you'll have 3 minutes when the green light comes on. And when the amber light comes on, you'll have 1 minute. And when the red light comes on, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up. First is Ms. Adele Jones. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. My name is Adele Jones. I'm from Melford, live in Lewis, a native Sussex County, and born and raised. The only time I left Sussex County was to go to college. And I come from a farm family in Melford. I'm maybe ignorant. We have all these zones, and so if we have zoning, why are we always changing people coming to you to change the zoning? Why don't we leave them where they are? That could help with the overcrowding, overbuilding of Sussex County. And as you guys know, and I tell you every year, the overdevelopment of Sussex County is ruining my quality of life. Fortunately, there's probably not much more life here, and hopefully I don't have to deal with those roads in Lewis much longer, but thank you.
Thank you. Operator, would you check online to see if anybody has any comment?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star. We have one caller. Caller, your line is unmuted.
Good morning. Jen Pulaski, 32886 Reba Road in Millville. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'd like to offer the following comments. A quantitative risk analysis is being worked on with regards to the application 2515 for Renewable Redevelopment LLC, that's U.S. Wind Substation and Landing for Subaqueous Cables from the Maryland Offshore Wind Project. The substation that is proposed for the property would be sitting only 8 feet above sea level, and there is a 100-year AE floodplain running through that property. U.S. Wind put forth a permit to produce 2,000 megawatts of instantaneous power, MWE. Calvert Cliffs Clean Energy Center, a comparable energy-producing nuclear comparison run by Constellation in Maryland, has transmission lines that sit 45 feet above the Chesapeake Bay. In the plans proposed by Renewable Redevelopment LLC, two switchgear sheds are proposed in the vicinity of the floodplain, and in the plans, there doesn't appear to be any reference to security guard facilities. Having energy production of 2,000 megawatts of instantaneous power should warrant security. Allowing this interconnection puts Sussex County as a potential target for terrorist attacks against the energy grid. The interconnection agreement they've made with PJM is only for 270 megawatts of instantaneous power. By example, Calvert Cliffs produces 1,700 megawatts of instantaneous power on 30 acres, while U.S. Wind's lease area is for over 80,000 or 125 square miles, and the property proposed for the Indian River substation is on 140 acres, with 20 proposed for the substation. This power produced to be transmitted by the U.S. Wind Maryland Offshore Wind Project is equal to that of Hope Creek Nuclear Power Station on Artificial Island or Calvert Cliffs. This significant size of transmission station needs further review. I would request the council start a new review on this project to due to the significant size of the project. Has anyone from council walked the local site with a local land surveyor? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Operator, is anyone else?
At this time, there is currently no one else on the line.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Next is consent agenda. We have one item, and that's use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA 1269 Westbury. It's the Toomey property in the Millville area. Are there any questions? Okay, we'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second. Mr. McCarron, any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Cornabell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next is County Administrator Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few items to get to today, starting with recognizing one of our retirees, and it's a significant one. I have a tribute here and a plaque to read, and then invite council to come down and provide this to Dina. 45 years of service to the county.
So, that's a minute.
That's quite a while. Let me read this tribute. Sussex County Council tribute. Be it hereby known to all that the County Council commends Dina Monaco, Financial Representative 3, for devotion, loyalty, and excellence in serving Sussex County 45 years. The County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Dina with wishes of happiness and good health. Signed, Douglas B. Hudson, Council President. And I also have this plaque that reads, presented to Dina Monaco by the Sussex County Council in grateful appreciation for 45 years of outstanding service and dedication. Congratulations, Dina. I would invite council to come down and take a few pictures. I understand she has quite a speech that she wants to give, so.
Dina, I remember when you started with the county and you followed the great tradition that your mother and father had here too.
That is a long time to work in one place.
Yeah. All right. And congratulations again, Dina. Okay. We have a Library Advisory Board appointment on the agenda today. This is for District 1. This is a three-year appointment to the Library Advisory Board. It's my understanding that Mr. Lloyd would like to appoint Ms. Carol Fitzgerald to this position, and I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read the motion.
Thank you.
There you go.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Ms. Carol Fitzgerald to the Library Advisory Board, effective immediately until such time as expires November 2028.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd. Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Ms. Cornabell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Next, we have to set the meeting and holiday schedule for the county for 2026. There was a memo in your packet outlining the suggested meeting and holiday schedule. We will follow the normal holiday schedule as in years past. Next year is an election year, so we will recognize Election Day and Return Day. In addition to those 2 days, we will be off New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Good Friday, Memorial Day, Juneteenth, Independence Day, Labor Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. There is a meeting schedule proposal in your packet. Unless you have any questions, I have a motion for your consideration.
Okay, please read your motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the 2026 meeting schedule and holiday schedule as presented.
Good pleasure of council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
All right. And this is the county administrator's report for November 18th, item one. A reminder that the annual Caroling on the Circle program will take place on Thursday, December 4th at 6 p.m. in front of the Sussex County Courthouse. This is a free event sponsored by the County Council each year. Everyone is welcome and encouraged to attend and to bring a food item for the less fortunate if they can afford to do so. For those wishing to make a monetary donation, the county has partnered again this year with the Food Bank of Delaware. Visit fbd.org/caroling to make an online donation. The Pack the Pod food drive campaign will remain in full swing until the end of December. For the night of caroling, we once again are partnering with the Georgetown Chamber of Commerce, which sponsors the Georgetown Christmas Parade. Following caroling, the town will hold its tree lighting before the parade steps off at 7 p.m. We invite the public to attend this fun-filled festive evening. Item two, per the attached engineering department fact sheets, the following projects have received substantial completion. Village Center's Cottages, Phase 1, effective October 22nd. Westridge Shores, effective October 24th. Mitchell's Corner, Phase 1B. And Walden, Phase 5B, effective October 28th. Item 3, Council will not meet on Tuesday, November 25th, during the week of Thanksgiving. County offices will be closed on Thursday, November 27th, and Friday, November 28th, for the Thanksgiving holiday, and will reopen Monday, December 1st at 8:30. Please also note council will not meet on Tuesday, December 2nd. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, December 9th. The county's holiday and employee appreciation luncheon will take place on Friday, December 5th at the Crossroad Conference Center. County offices will close at 12 p.m. on December 5th and reopen Monday, December 8th at 8:30 a.m. The public is asked to plan accordingly during this time and we appreciate your understanding. Item five, it's with great sadness that we inform you that pensioner Leon Collins passed away on Wednesday, November 5th. Mr. Collins began his career in Sussex County in September 1979, where he worked until July 2006 for a total of 26 years. His last position with the county was Director of Utility Billing. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Collins family. Item three, it's with great sadness that we inform you that pensioner June Bostick passed away on Thursday, November 6th. Mrs. Bostick began her career with Sussex County in March 1984, where she worked until April 1993 for a total of 9 years. Her last position with the county was Library 1, Greenwood Library. We'd like to extend our condolences to the family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Next, Ms. Karen Brewington, Human Resources Director.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I'm happy to announce our fourth quarter shining star. We had 41 submissions this quarter, and the Shining Star Committee selected one winner, Mrs. Ashley Paul in the Planning and Zoning Department. So at this time, I would like to read both of her submissions. The first one was from Jamie Whitehouse. She received the Above and Beyond Star. On October 1st, 2025, during a regular meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission, a member of the public came up to the dais and reported to staff that he wished to submit written comments, was unable to speak due to a low sugar event. The gentleman then showed staff a glucose monitor showing a blood glucose reading of 61. The gentleman reported that he did not feel well, and when staff asked if he would like them to get him a candy bar, he said he would. With great haste, Ashley retrieved a selection of chocolates and other sweet items and was ready to assist the gentleman out at the security desk. Ashley's speed and attention to the goings-on inside the council chamber showed not only great awareness and customer service, but also her dedication to assisting customers when they are in need. Ashley's efforts are greatly appreciated by the Director of Planning and Zoning, and it is without hesitation that the Shining Star submittal is entered as a result. Well done, Ashley. The second submission was from Lauren Ciccini, and this is the Above and Beyond badge. What she had stated was, I would like to nominate Ms. Ashley Paul for a Shining Star. This quarter, the Department of Planning and Zoning saw two of its largest and regionally significant rezoning projects of record. These include change of zone number 2001, Bellmead Farm, LLC, more commonly known as Bellmead Farm, and change of zone number 2037, Mulberry Knoll Associates, LLC, more commonly known as Atlantic Fields. Notably, Bellmead Farm and Atlantic Fields are only the county's second and third rezoning applications to C4, planned commercial district of record, which among other code requirements are required to include enhanced design elements for comprehensive planning, integrated pedestrian circulation, landscaping, internal access streets, and consideration of regional infrastructure impacts and infrastructure planning. Both projects were scheduled for public hearings on the same week with back-to-back hearing dates. As of the date of this entry, over 600 public comments, 626 to be exact, have been submitted between the two applications. And Ashley single-handedly organized and printed for the physical file and uploaded and coded each one into the county's land use docket using Planning and Zoning's electronic document management system. This was a tremendous lift for one individual to take on, but Ashley did it so willingly, determinedly, and as always, with unwavering optimism. Ashley's attention to detail, continuing commitment to excellence, and stellar customer service are a huge asset to the effective functioning of the Department of Planning and Zoning, and she deserves recognition for her ever-consistent efforts to go above and beyond her regular job duties. So Ashley will receive a certificate, Shining Star pin, and eligible for the Employee of the Year. So as you know, the Employee of the Year will be announced at Mildred King Employee Appreciation Luncheon on December 5th. So at this time, if I could have everyone, Ashley, Council, Mr. Lawson, Mrs. Jennings, come down for a photo. And if everyone could join me in congratulating Ashley as the fourth quarter winner.
Thank you, Karen.
Sorry.
Okay.
John.
Moving along, Ms. Yes, Gina Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's that time of year again for the Sussex County Human Service Grant Program presentation. I have a short presentation to give you, and at the end, I would ask for your support and vote on these grants. So as an overview, the Human Service Grant purpose is for grants to countywide nonprofit agencies, so they have to cover at least three council districts out of the five, that enhance health and human services, which contribute to the safe, healthy, and self-sufficient community. And these funds can be used for capital projects, programs, operating expenses, anything like that. So the process, organizations submitted an application online. We closed that on September 30th. Finance then reviews multiple things on those applications and also pulls out documentation through the IRS and the Delaware Division of Corporations. We make sure that they're in good standing with both of those organizations. We also review their most current tax documentation. We look to make sure they don't owe the county anything, past taxes, sewer bills, or anything like that. And we also make sure that the scope of request falls within the guidelines. We then create a formula based on the number of beneficiaries, other support that the organization gets, any kind of need, just to best utilize the grant funds. Because we do budget $225,000 and we get over 80 applications. So the formula to best distribute the $225,000, we use a base grant amount. So depending on how many beneficiaries, Sussex County beneficiaries, the nonprofit serves, they'll get a base amount. And then we add additional funds if we see that their operations are mainly in Sussex County. The additional amounts, they're requesting other funding except just Sussex County. We do ask for other support. They look like they have a need more than $5,000. They showed a loss last year on their tax returns, and they have less than $1 million cash in the bank. So you can see the maximum grant amounts for each of those categories. We do make sure that the cheer and senior centers get the same amount of $5,600, and the Boys and Girls Club each get $2,500. We also look to see if they received previous grants through County Council, because this is all the same tax dollar pot of money, so we want to be fair. So we back that out 50% of what was rewarded before. So the statistics of the application, we did receive $339,000 in requests from 80 qualified organizations. You can see the types of beneficiaries that these organizations served. Most of them are youth programs and then elderly programs. We did receive 5 new recipient applications from last year. It covers 107,000 beneficiaries. And of course, there could be duplicate beneficiaries. They could help. One organization could help one person, and that same person's being helped by another organization. So that's a duplicate account. And organizations raise approximately $4.5 million in order to support these projects. So in other words, $225,000 is about 5% of what else other money that's been brought in from these nonprofits. So here are the 80 recipients that I am recommending. In your packet, there was how much each recipient was receiving, how much they requested, how much they got received last year. And I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the fiscal year 2026 Human Service Grant allocation as presented.
All right, pleasure of council.
Move for
motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Gruenbaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gruenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Next up, Mr. Mike Harmer, County Engineer.
Good morning, Mike Harmer, County Engineer. In 2019, County Council approved moving forward with the Piney Neck Regional Wastewater Facility Diversion Transmission System Project to divert all the flows from the Piney Neck plant to South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility. On December 10th, 2024, County Council approved award of the Piney Neck Design Build Project to Garney Companies, Inc. and GHD, Inc. team and approved the Phase 1 pricing proposal for the design and permitting based upon hourly pricing not to exceed $2 million. The two-step design build process was selected in collaboration with the Engineering Department and Ms. Gina Jennings due to the complexities of the numerous DLDOT crossings and the delicate issues associated with our easement acquisition process connected to the commitments we made during that process. The history of the design build process is in your packages. The design build team has progressed to a design to a point to where a guaranteed maximum price can be determined for the construction of the Piney Neck Diversion Project as shown in their phase two proposal. The project will tie in the new force main that exists on, there's two force mains on Piney Neck Road that will be tied into this force main, and it'll run approximately 6 miles to the Roxana Road area where we have a manhole that will run, take the sewage down to the regional, South Coastal Regional Facility, which has the capacity for this extra flow. The team has taken into account impacts for future flow capacities, the capacity of the treatment plant, and the associated additional tie-ins needed to accommodate future growth. We have value engineered the package, reducing the costs where we could. One of them is we looked at the open cut areas versus what we're drilling and we're able to save some money and pipe material costs by reducing the thickness of the pipe where we're open cutting versus the directional drilling process. So the team has provided a guaranteed maximum price of $11,484,000 for completion of the project. We expect to have $500,000 of the originally approved $2 million remaining from the phase one design process to credit to the project, which we'll bring back to council towards the end of the project to balance out the costs and report on the completion of the project. The engineering department is requesting county council to approve the phase two proposal in the guaranteed maximum price of $11,484,000 and proceed with construction. I will answer any questions that you may have or read a motion for your consideration.
Are there any questions?
I do have, maybe this is a can of worms. Guaranteed cap price of $11 million. How's that, how are they able to guarantee that? I'm just curious.
So in the design build process, they've looked at, they've done soil borings along the way. You know, they've done as much due diligence to eliminate unforeseen field conditions as possible. And the way that the design build processes work is you come to a conclusion that we were able to provide a guaranteed maximum price. There are some stipulations, like if we do hit something that was unforeseen, obviously, you know, you couldn't see that in the soil borings. But we did a lot of pre-testing, pre-investigations in the field work to limit that. And so the team, Garney and GHD, GHD does some of our wastewater work, they're familiar with the area. And Garney's a large national pipe contractor. It's very experienced in the design build process. So that's I've done several of these guaranteed maximum price design build projects myself personally in other career settings. And it's worked out very well every time. So hopefully this does also, and that's where we're at.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Are any questions on the motion?
I need to, I think
I'm
I
sorry, you got to read the motion.
Yeah, okay. So be it moved based.
I'm looking ahead too much.
That's all right. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that the Garney GHD design build team phase two proposal be approved in the guaranteed maximum price of $11,484,000 for construction of the Piney Neck Wastewater Facility Diversion Transmission System as part of the Piney Neck design build agreement.
Okay, now pleasure.
Now I move for adoption. Yeah.
Thank motion, you. Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Quirnabaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robbie Murray. Morning.
Good morning. Council, if you remember back when we were presenting the budget, we discussed paramedic unit upfits and a potential transition from our paramedic Suburbans that we've used now for about 10 or 12 years to a pickup truck with an enclosed cab that would slide in the bed of the pickup truck. We put that out to RFP in early October, closed that on October 24th. We have met with a couple of the vendors and Sussex Upfitters LLC out of Millsboro is the low bid, and I have a motion for you to accept the contract and award that to them, and I'm also open for questions.
Are there any questions?
How many units are you starting with, I guess?
Eight would be in this particular contract.
Okay. So I'm a little curious. It's a different concept than what we've had previously. So will we be able to take that unit out of the pickup truck and put it into a different truck if necessary?
That is the plan, yeah, that we would essentially re-chassis. We would order the chassis ahead of time. The truck would stay in service. Newcastle County has had this model for a number of years, and they say that the vehicles are out of service for about 2 weeks. They prep the chassis, they have everything ready to go, and when it's time to transition, they just unplug the cap, put it in the back of the new chassis, plug it in and put the unit in service. So that is the hope.
You think the units will outlast the trucks?
At least one recycle is our plan.
So in the long run, this will actually probably save us a little bit of money, maybe?
Sure. Indeed. I don't want to go that far out. That is the hope. That is the plan.
Yeah.
You know, we won't really know what that looks like until we get to that point of recharging.
But if, God forbid, the truck had an accident or something and needed
to be as long as
service,
the,
you could potentially pull that. And
yeah, that's what we have discovered recently when we have lost Suburbans, either through motor vehicle crashes or fires, that it takes a year to get that vehicle back in service.
Yep.
The hope here is that we can more readily find a chassis, unplug the box, as long as the box is still serviceable, that we would be able to plug that in and be back in service in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah, a lot more flexible.
I read this entire thing, and you guys did a lot of work, research, and going back and forth with other people. And
yeah, we have
doing all the work you needed to do.
The logistics team, as well as we have a very active equipment and vehicle committee represented with field paramedics, and they did the bulk of that work, researching it and looking into it, making the recommendation to our senior staff. Yes.
Okay.
So will they be able to actually step up inside this? Similar?
No.
No, it's not that big.
No,
not like
no. There will be a tray that slides out the gear on the tray.
Gotcha.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, please give us your motion.
All right, be it moved that Sussex County Council award Sussex Upfitters LLC of Millsboro the contract to upfit 8 paramedic units as described in the 2026 model year RFP.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions on the motion? All right, now we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of good work. Mr. Medlars, good morning.
Good morning.
Your light went off. There you go.
Yeah. Robbie, did you turn my light off?
Happens.
There's some kind of ghost that turns these things on and off. I don't know.
I know how this happens. There are three items before you that. First two introductions, the second, last one, action item. So the Love Creek Mobile Home Park has been before you, and you may be recalling the steps how the whole district area was created. That's the one right next to Love Creek on the north side. And we started out with the mobile home park itself. You added some units to it, some smaller mobile home parks, which are adjacent to it, some single parcels, which actually have no sewer at all. They have porta potties. So there's quite an interesting combination. This was supposed to be in the 2008 initial DNRAC conversion to central sewer, so it only took a few extra years to get there. But I think we're finally there, and they actually had assistance from a Maryland group doing a income survey, and that income survey was accepted by DNRAC to come up with the funding model. And when you look at the model itself, then you can see how much loan forgiveness that resulted in for that area. It's substantial. Furthermore, it has been before the Water Infrastructure Council. It's on the intended use plan for the state. So that action by the council triggered us to receive the commitment letter. So the commitment letter has been executed by the administration, and both Ms. Jennings and I support the introduction of the ordinance because it is affordable. It's within the limits of what we conveyed during the public hearing process, and it's definitely one of the most needed environmentally sensitive areas to be converted. It's one of the, if not the last one I can think of, area where we really have, these are not really septic systems, you know, there. They are predate the septic design of today, so it's time to convert them and then move on. So if one of you reading the short title, introduce the ordinance for consideration. Do you want me to read it, or are you going to read it? Yeah, okay, I can read it. Let me read the short title, please. An ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $7,243,669 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with the Love Creek Mobile Home Community MHC project and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
I will introduce it.
Mr. Riley introduces it.
So we can move on to the second one, and that is really, that's sort of like, is the, what you saw right now is the initial step when we get the first funding package, and what you see next is the very, very last step. Everything's completed. You see how we created the district area, how we teamed up with a private entity for one of the pump station utilizations, how we got the engineering lined up, and how the construction administration played out. And this is the last one where we have to get the supplemental funding. Again, this was a project which was based on the 1.5% MHI median household income, and the supplemental funding is then approved in the form of loan forgiveness, but we still have to have an ordinance, because if we didn't go through with it, it would actually become a loan, which is somewhat silly in this case because we've already gone through with it. But it's a, if I could change that, I would take that step out. That is really not necessary, but it allows us to show you and write up a nice summary of the project. It's on record, and you can see how the supplemental funding works. So in this case, you know, this is a foregone conclusion that would be accepted, and we will get the money to close the project out.
Okay.
That will be the last step. If I may read the short title.
Please. Please.
The funny part about this, since I see this in the find the first.
I have it if you want. I can do it.
I got it.
You got
finally
it.
Found it. An ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $344,960.39 of general obligation bond of Sussex County in connection with increased costs associated with the Tanglewood/Oak Acres septic elimination project, and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
I will introduce it.
Mr. Raleigh introduces it.
I do have question, comment. We have students here that just pointing out again, these are called general obligation bonds, but in effect they are actually revenue bonds, because they're supported by the fees that are charged to the system users for the sewer system, and so they're not general obligations to the entire citizenship of Sussex County. But can you refresh us again on how much nitrogen has been prevented from going into the inland bays as a result of building out our sanitary sewer system, and particularly the Love Creek Mobile Home?
When you look at the Love Creek Mobile Home Park by itself, and when you look at the disposal system they have, you know, with which is in place, mm-hmm. and the number of units involved, and I think it was one, let me double check, because I have a better feeling by the unit versus by the, but maybe if I may, let me go back to the Herring Creek one, because I did that calculation many times.
Sure.
So the Herring Creek in the original concept had about close to 800 units. We now have connected over 900, and that connection resulted in a reduction to the inland bays in more than the city of Rehoboth's wastewater treatment flow altogether. So that sort of puts it in perspective. Mm-hmm. I did an analysis over the last 12 years, and that was about 2 years ago, before we did some major connections recently, like we just finished Lockwood. But the last, let's say, from 2012 to 2024, when you look at that time period, we reduced the nitrogen and the phosphorus in the inland bays by more than all of our discharges of our wastewater plants combined, and that's if we did not have any crop uptake. So when you put that in perspective, you get a real good feeling for that. The county is doing a really good job in the world of helping the inland bays, health of the bays based on nutrification.
I think I heard at one point that there were either 21 or 23 open source, what should I call, contributors to pollution, you know, people that are, you know, putting effluent untreated sometimes into the inland bays, and now there are zero.
We have zero discharges.
Zero discharges.
In the inland bays at this
right.
Point discharges.
Point discharges.
Like we obviously have.
So we've eliminated that, plus, I mean, I could speculate. I'm not sure the number of pounds of nitrogen that's been kept out of the inland bay as a result of your efforts and the county's efforts, but probably millions.
I mean, like the county probably is the single most by far reducer of nitrogen and phosphorus.
Right. So all of this has had hopefully a beneficial effect on the quality of the water in the inland bays, and that combined with oyster farming, maybe maybe eventually we'll see improvements.
And Commissioner, you may recall that the county has received recognition from the Center of Inland Bays for our efforts.
Yes, we have.
So, and that's so it's definitely a great partnership with the the CIB.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Good point, Mr. Ryan.
So on the South Coastal Project, so you. I gave you sort of a summary. There's two pieces of actions, and they both relate to the ongoing efforts in the electrical world. As a matter of fact, I spent yesterday all afternoon in one of the electrical rooms down at South Coastal, going over one of the items. When you look at the purchase order side, has to do with the motor circuit protectors, which are digital circuit breakers. And they, each one of them needs to be touched, and it's just interesting to see the effort involved in each one of these pieces of electrical equipment, what we need in order to get the full validation of the startup. But when you look at the various agreements with our engineers, GHT, which have to deal with the construction phase services, and that's what we're really talking about, and the numerous times we extended it for, we amended it for good reasons. So right now I feel, when I look back, and I realized obviously in July that we were running out of funds, and I had a number of discussions with them, pointing out the areas where I believe they could have been more effective, and in the areas where I believe the county contributed towards that effort, and where we now wanted to have something back. So this went back and forth quite a number of times, resulting in the amendment we have today, where they agreed that they would reduce their overhead by 50%, forgive all the profits, there would be no expense charges, and there would be no markups on any subconsultants. So that's a significant reduction in our costs, well over $300,000. So I see this effort going probably through May, and that furthermore, if it extended any further, there is now also a commitment, which is in the amendment, that all the other services will be provided at no charge. So this way, I think I have to give full credit to GHD. They went all in and said, yes, we want to be a good partner of Sussex County. And we know there's a lot of work further down the road. And I think this shows this commitment level. And I'm very pleased. And Ms. Jennings and I were both actively talking to them. And we both know that we feel this is a good compromise moving forward. Now, on the other side is as you can see, there's a number of RFPs which our staff triggered after granting of substantial completion. And these are, I'm not saying they're not valid, but again, these are, as we go into a 50-year-old facility, Mr. Lloyd and I were talking about earlier, there's things which are on the wish list. The scum pump control is a prime example. We have existing clarifiers that have these scum skimmers. Everything from the new clarifiers, the existing clarifiers, goes to a scum pump station. The scum pump station is big enough for all clarifiers. We didn't touch it. It wasn't part of the original project. But now, they're looking at everything else and they say, why didn't that get included? It's still working. Yes, it's pretty old stuff. But that was on the wish list. So, okay, we got that RFP out. We have it, it's in there, and if you read through these, they're very interesting, they're sort of like, how we want everything new now. And some of them, as you can see, there's missing gaps in these numbers. These are items where I said, no go, I'm not supporting that. I'm not going to county council and support that. That's something, you guys will have to deal with in separate RFPs. the ones I brought before you, I do support, and we did get the pricing from the electrical contractor for it. And since we closed out the project, this cannot be a change order; it has to be a purchase order. Now, what I found yesterday is good news, and leading into this, we, Ms. Jennings and I discussed, I wanted to have unit prices for these mortar circuits protectors, because there's well over 40 of them. So yesterday, the ones we did in the, this is another one of these old pieces, it's called the old mechanical building, which dates back to the 70s. We have all new electrical equipment, but there's a lot of old mechanical equipment still driven by the new electrical parts. And when you have really old motors, and they're trying to be protected with 21st century circuit protectors, things get a little tricky, but I think we can probably safely say two-thirds, if not three-quarter of them, do not have to be replaced. We were able to fine-tune them and do the digital tuning, and I saw some pretty fancy electrical equipment in action yesterday, and it was an interesting experience.
You know, what always amazes me, the general public has no idea how the sanitary system works.
It goes on.
All they want to know is that when they flush it, they don't have to worry about it, you know?
I mean,
there's so much that, you know, is involved, and I'm always marvel at...
I mean, the so we had the best guy from BW Electric, and we had a top-notch technician from Schneider Electric. And when you look at Schneider, this is the company which provides probably half of all the electrical components in the United States. So they send this fellow down because they sold us the components. Right. So we had the chief electrical engineer from GHD on site, so the four of us looked at this. And I learned a lot, even at that point in my life. And it was an interesting experience. But the good news is, I think we can stay under the PO ceiling. We move some money around because some further testing has to be done. But I feel that's the good news. So I have two motions for your consideration.
Okay, so they're two separate motions. Can we do them at once?
I would prefer we have two different motions. Yes.
Okay. All right, please read your first.
Because if the first one failed, we wouldn't have any engineers to test it, so we would probably kill the second one.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number 30 to the base engineering contract with GHD Incorporated be approved in the not-to-exceed amount of $484,833 for construction engineering services associated with the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility Treatment Process Upgrade Number 3.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Be removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that County Council approve a purchase order BW Electric Incorporated in the amount not to exceed $220,707.20 to implement the request for proposals 125, 127, 128, 130, 131, and 132 with a unit cost deduction of $1,250 per motor circuit breaker not replaced.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Okay, next up is old business. Mr. Whitehouse.
Okay, just one today. Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have one item of old business today, which is conditional use number 2510 filed on behalf of Henry Villegas Solis. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held before County Council on October 7th of this year. This is a conditional use application within a B1 neighbourhood business district for an auto repair shop to be located on the southwest side of Leighton Avenue, north of Jersey Road. County Council were unable to complete the public hearing for that application because the Council had not received a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a public hearing, but the record was left open to receive that. On the meeting of October 17th of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission made their recommendation to approve this application, but the 5 reasons stated and subject to the 15 recommended conditions of approval, which are included in your paperless packet. As part of Council's motion to leave the record open, there was an additional 5-day period from the date of the Commission's recommendation for the receipt of additional public comments. And I can confirm that we did receive 1 additional public comment, and it was from the same gentleman who spoke before County Council, and that was received on October 20th, and that is also included in your paperless packet.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 0.61 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 5 with conditions 6A through O.
Okay, pleasure of council.
I will move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunewald. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley.
I've given a lot of thought to this. Driven by the property a couple times, and it does appear that they've made significant improvements there. It's notable that there is another auto repair shop very close to there. It's been there for quite some time. And for the reasons given by planning and zoning with the conditions, I'm going to vote yes, but I do have a request. If it's passed, if we could notify the people that came and testified in opposition, if we could send them a letter with the conditions and just make them aware of the decision.
Sure.
Okay, a motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Ms. Grunewald. Are there any questions?
Well, I just voted yes on that. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. Riley, you voted yes. Mr. McCarron.
I'm going to agree with Mr. Riley in planning and zoning, and based upon the testimony heard during the hearing.
Sir. Mr. Lloyd.
Based on the testimony given at the hearing and the testimony and the recommendation by P&Z, despite the recommendation, I'm going to vote yes with the conditions.
Okay, Ms. Grunewald.
Based on the testimony and the recommendations of planning and zoning and the reasoning of Mr. Riley, I'm going to vote yes.
And I agree with planning and zoning and Mr. Riley. I will vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, grant request. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is from the Town of Laurel. They're requesting $2,000 for their Laurel Welcome Project. Funds will be used for supplies and event expenses. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $2,000 for their 4th of July fireworks from Mr. Vincent and Mr. Lloyd placed on the agenda.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yeah, I'm going to give $2,000.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd, to grant $2,000 from his district's account for the Town of Laurel for their welcome project.
Second,
Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, next one is First State Community Action Agency. They're requesting $3,000 for their annual anniversary celebration. Funds will be used for event expenses. Last grant received for this event was the amount of $1,000 from Mr. Riley, and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley?
I would like to grant $1,000 from my account.
Okay.
And I'll grant $1,000 from the District 2 account. I've seen firsthand the work they do in the Woodbridge School District.
Okay, we have a grant, $1,000 from Mr. Riley, $1,000 from Mr. McCarron. I will also do $1,000 for a total of $3,000 to First State Community Action. Did I miss something?
No.
You wanted
me to.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll take
more than $3,000 if you want to.
We'll take the vote. Mr. Riley?
I vote yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Next one is Del Mar Community WellNet Foundation. They're requesting $1,500 for their snack garden project. Funds will be used to support their school partner program with the Indian River School District. There are no previous grants to this organization. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley?
I would like to grant $500 from my account.
Motion, Mr. Riley, to grant $500. Okay, also Ms. Grunewald also is in for $500 with for a total of $1,000 to the Delmarva Community Wellnet Foundation. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Take the vote, Mr. Riley.
I vote yes.
Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gronenbaum.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
And the last one is Delmarva Council Boy Scouts of America. They're requesting $5,000 for their Distinguished Citizens Award event. Funds will be used for camp scholarships and financial assistance for scouts throughout Sussex County. Last grant received for this event was the amount of $5,000 from the Countywide Youth Program. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda, and this still does qualify from the Countywide Youth Grant.
So I will move that we grant $5,000 from the Countywide Youth.
Oh, motion, Mr. Riley, to grant $5,000 to Delmarva Council. Oh, second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gronenbaum.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next is introduction of proposed ordinances.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three. The first one is Councilwoman Grunbaum's district, an ordinance amending the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC medium density residential planned community district to an MRRPC medium density residential planned community district, and to amend conditions of approval for change of zone 1528, which was ordinance number 1679, and for CZ 1753, which was ordinance number 2361, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 37.97 acres, more or less. Thank you.
Ms. Gronenbaum introduces it.
The next one is in Mr. Lloyd's district, an ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for the extension of employee parking, self-storage, and container storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 5.23 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Lloyd introduces it.
And the last one is in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance grant of conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an auto tire center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 1.0 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Mr. Riley introduces it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Next, council member comments. Council member comments.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do one.
Mr. Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I just want to start off by saying that so far this year, I think the council has done a really good job at delineating and figuring out what constitutes a good versus a bad development. And by listening to the input by Department of the State Housing Authority, Office of State Planning Coordination, DLDOT, the Land Use Reform Working Group, both looking at the comp plan and the code, I think it clearly spells out, again, what constitutes what's considered bad, not sustainable, low-density, sprawl development. While on the other hand, doing a good job at identifying what constitutes good, future-looking, and sustainable development. And I think there's some obligation to honor what is objectively good planning that we've communicated we'd like to see. And I want to tell just a very quick story. It's a personal story, but it's a very powerful story, and it's analogous to something that we're seeing here in Sussex County. And I've shared this with some of the folks up here on the dais, but I was driving down the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, okay, and there was dead seagulls on the side of the road because they get hit by cars. And I thought, boy, what a shame these seagulls get hit by cars. And as I kept driving, I kept seeing them every interval of distance, maybe 300 to 600 feet spacing. And I thought to myself, gee, I wonder what that public hearing was like when they went to approve the Chesapeake Bay Bridge on account of folks contesting the bridge for the sake of saving the seagulls. And I started counting them, and I looked up the linear feet of the road bridge, and it's a little more than 4 miles both way. I did the rough math. You figure one seagull every week. Over a year's span, it's over 3,000 seagulls. Well, caveat, I didn't just run on stopping overdevelopment in the farmland. I also ran on affordable housing and jobs. And some of these projects are offering both of those. And so to the finish the point about the bridge, people could have denied that bridge on account of saving those 3,000 seagulls per year, yet that very bridge contributes over $21 billion of economic impact to the peninsula and Virginia. Tens of millions of residents and tourists cross that bridge every year, and it would have been a shame if that bridge got denied for the sake of saving the seagulls. So for the greater good, I believe that bridge is there for a good reason. And to parallel that with some of what's the greater good in Sussex County, some of these projects are for the greater good. I believe they are, in consideration of the economic impact, affordable housing, and jobs. That concludes my
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Next, we'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gornabout.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I also vote yes. We are now in executive session downstairs.